Alligator Wrestling, The Final Frontier. These are the exciting, dangerous, and astonishing adventures of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, 1984 graduate of the Columbus School of Law in Washington, D.C., the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, mentor to young attorneys, and a man who always wore a pair of black and white two-tone wing-tipped alligator hide shoes to court, Richard J. Ringhausen. And featuring is your skin-tingling daredevil marksman sculptor, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who always won the spirits deck at his high school pep rallies, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Thank you very much. Spirit stick, really? Really?
You seem like the sort that would have jumped up and down and been thrilled to get the spirit stick.
Oh, no. I was really laid back and kind of cool.
Well, that's cooler than getting the spirit stick.
Being cool. Jumping up and down spirit stick sounds just a little bit on the goofy side. Maybe yeah. Not. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there are people who like that, and it's probably all right. Not me! Okay, I got a... Well, first, introduce our guest, Rick.
Oh, we have a guest with us today. We're lucky enough to have an actual park ranger for the National Park Service with us, Mr. Wellington Michaels.
That's correct. We prefer a law enforcement officer.
Wellington?
That's right. My mother was a big fan of roast beef.
Okay.
And so she named me after her favorite dish. That's correct. Beef. Affirmative.
Do all of your coworkers call you Wellington, or do you have a well done or well?
Just beef Wellington, well done.
I'm sorry. Well or Will or
Alan? They call him Mr. Michaels.
They just call me Sir.
Ooh.
They call me Sir. They also
officer.
Officer, they call me.
Do you know...
They also call me the guy who that peed once.
That federal park rangers, this is a legal thing now,
yeah,
have the most wide-ranging arrest authority of any officer in the United States.
I don't believe that.
That's 100% true. They can go anywhere, do anything.
I mean, conservation police officers can, but park rangers don't have that same authority.
Oh, nationally they do.
No.
More so than, like you just said, your federal or state conservation officers, you know, they have a wide jurisdiction.
Wait a minute.
Ton of authority. Park rangers even more so.
Now that I think about that, I was watching Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and Will Ferrell plays a federal park ranger, and he has all kinds of authority. He carries a tranquilizer gun. Do you carry a tranquilizer gun?
I do carry a tranquilizer gun.
What about bear spray?
I carry bear spray. I also carry a bear gun.
And when you say bear gun, what constitutes a bear gun?
It's just a gun.
Okay.
But I think it's only for bears.
But all the other officers say, it's a bear gun?
Yeah, well, they call it a people gun, but I'm not that comfortable with it.
Single-shot, high-powered rifle. Bolt-action, high-powered rifle. Isn't that what a park ranger carries?
What's more annoying, the bears or the people in the national parks?
Oh, it's the people. You can keep the bears away from the trash, but the people, they'll get around anything.
People national parks are insane. Did you get in on, which park do you work at, by the way?
I work at several parks, including Yosemite, Yellowstone.
Okay, Yellowstone's
the moon.
Is that the one where they have Yogi?
Well, Yogi's kind of, he goes all over. Any place where there's picnic baskets, he's there.
Okay, what I read on the news was something where they have these like colored, well, they're like sulfur pots, but it's like, it looks like they're painted with paint colors. And some damn tourist walked on it.
Wait a minute,
busted
Rick.
It up.
It looks like it's painted with paint colors.
I mean, it's swirly colors, like you took buckets of paint.
Slow down with all those scientific terms. I'm having a hard time keeping up.
Okay. your part's going to be edited out of this. So you can just make any idiotic remark you want to make. I'm trying to explain that there's these, for people who've never been to Yellowstone, there's one part where it smells like sulfur, but they got boardwalks that snake all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
It, and it's got colored paint pots. They call them paint pots.
But they're like a mud geyser type thing.
But they have like a crust on them that looks like it's been painted by an abstract artist. Mm. And some tourist recently smashed one of them by putting his foot on it and broke it up.
Okay.
Well, there was irreplaceable.
There's also the fellow recently who jumped into one of those hot springs, was swimming around, got out, and then later died because there's like brain worms inside that hot water, and one got up inside his eye and ate his way all the way back to his brain.
And everybody's like, serves him right.
Serves him right.
I don't feel bad for that.
There are signs.
Do you feel bad for that? Someone that does that? Someone that breaks the law and then has a fatal accident as a result.
You know, I'd like to see a movie made out of it.
I mean, I'm not saying like if you jaywalk, you'd like to see someone run down. But I mean, you're in a national park swimming in a hot spring when you shouldn't be.
Yeah, you know, there's certain times when, you know, there's somebody breaking the law and they kind of like get what they... Okay, I'm down at the town of Carbondale, Illinois.
Beautiful place.
And they used to have like these just wild Halloween parties. And I was there.
Trying to keep everybody calm. Everybody behave.
Come on, guys.
We can have a good time, but
we don't have to cause trouble.
It has to be alcohol every time. Just have fun.
And, yeah, you know, I'm as blitzed as anybody else down there. But, you know, the streets are just shut down because there's a throng of people. And some guy climbs up a traffic light pole. And, you know, people are cheering him as he's climbing up, and he just keeps kind of going. And then it gets to the cross arm that goes out over the street, and he's shimmying out that, and, you know, people are still cheering at him. And then finally they started, instead of cheering, they started, you know, yelling at him and start throwing stuff. And somebody throws a beer bottle and hits him in the head, and he falls to the pavement. It's the funniest thing I ever saw. It's at the time. I was so drunk.
Did you run over to try to help him?
No.
To see if he needed help? Or
that poor man.
In a drunken riot like that, you don't help people.
You just try to stay out of the way.
Yeah. That same night, a guy got hit by a train, got hit by Amtrak and cut his leg off right there on the spot.
Holy smokes.
Wow. Yeah. That was quite the party, weren't
it? It was. That was the last year they had it.
Yeah, thanks for ruining it.
Just takes a few bad apples to ruin things for everyone.
That's right.
Sit down, smart aleck.
Well, Carbondale's still one of the biggest party schools in the country, isn't it?
No, it lost that title a long time ago.
Did it really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, back in the 80s. Now, I think U of I is one of the biggest party schools in the country.
Glad to be on top.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? Now, down at these parks, you guys work really hard to maintain native species and yet accommodate guests.
That's right. It's a hard balance. It's a hard balance, but we do pretty good. We help the native species find mates, and we discourage the people from doing so, and that helps keep the balance.
Discourage people from finding mates in the national
park? Yeah, in the park. Yeah, we don't want that.
A lot of that goes on, though, doesn't it?
Oh, you better believe it. A lot of people out there in the woods, under the stars.
A lot of nudity?
Oh, yeah, a lot of nudity. And they say, officer, put your clothes back on. I'm just trying to blend in with the environment.
You got a good pair of binoculars, though, don't you?
Absolutely.
God, you're sick. Now, it's my understanding that in some of these areas, they have to...
I got to back up just a second.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Isn't that one of the perks of being a local cop? Like when you...
Peeping?
No, when you're like... when you find someone parked out on the highway to give them... Go up with the flashlight and go, what's going on here? Even though you know what's going on here.
That's what you think cops do. That's why you think guys put on the badge. That's why they go
through the
train.
I didn't say that. I just said it's one of...
You think that every cop is a perv.
I think it's just one of the perks of the job.
You say perks or pervs?
Perks of the job?
Stop that. I'm going to cut you. I think cops are great. I've been in law enforcement my whole life.
I do, too. I think they're all wonderful.
I hope,
and they have tough jobs.
I hope you get ticket after ticket after ticket.
Have you ever had that experience of the old flashlight on the window?
No. I've been a good boy my whole life.
Wow. How about you, Allie?
at him. Look at him squirm.
This isn't about me.
No, sir.
This is about park rangers.
That's right.
Let's talk about some other aspect of park
rangers. Did you know there's a viral video out there on YouTube of the dancing park ranger? Have you seen that where this guy?
No.
I mean, he is. Hey, have you ever seen this?
He's
look up Google.
He's
Google
busting a move, is he?
Google dancing park ranger, and man, this guy can dance. And it's actually two other park rangers kind of dancing in like looks like the break room, and they're pretty good. And then this guy, he's like a middle aged, bearded, heavy set white dude, and he danced to and steals the show,
like full uniform, huh? All green,
oh, yeah.
Hat,
yeah, yeah,
badge,
yeah, full regalia.
Wow.
Yeah, in uniform, and he is one dancing dude.
What about people getting lost in the park? That's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They get lost and never get found again, many of them.
You sound like a serial killer.
I'm just saying, you stumble across a couple corpses.
You come to my park, you better stay on the path.
I told you to stay on the trail.
Hey, you know, every year at the Grand Canyon, there's like... They just assume that there's going to be like 5 to 10 people that will fall into the Grand Canyon.
Oh, it's yes. More than that. There's jumpers. People go there.
Right, to end it all. But yeah. I'm talking about idiots who say, I'm going to just stand out on the point and
get my picture.
Let me get a selfie out here.
I want to be right at the edge because it's cooler.
And then fall to their death.
And they fall in.
It happens all the time.
It yeah. does. I mean, it's just astonishing.
And I think there's also
I mean, I understand it's like natural selection involved here.
There's also annual deaths of like horses that stumble and take the big fall.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh.
Oh, like on the mule trip when they go all...
Not the mules. They know what they're doing. The donkeys yeah. up and down there. It's always a horse. They're not as sure-footed as the other animals.
Oh, I see. They're more majestic.
You mean like with a rider, trail rider, or just horses that are kind of walking over to have a look down and see what's there?
It's usually one of each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm falling, you know, and the thing about that, falling into the Grand Canyon, that's enough of a fall that you have time to think about it on the way down.
Well, I think you probably, if you're a jumper, you've thought about it before you start going down.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the guys who just trip and fall in.
Oh, yeah.
Going... Oh, my gosh. I wish I hadn't done that.
It'd be like that guy from the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah.
He had time to think about it. I even had time to
wipe a tear away
from
the
wind
that was
in his face.
But if you're going to hurdle yourself off of a precipice as a way of ending it all, why don't go to the Grand. You're just going to ruin somebody's vacation.
I think that's probably part of it.
Oh, so it's malicious suicide.
You know what I remember? When we were kids, do you remember going to the Grand Canyon as kids, little kids? With mom and dad, we drove out in a sedan with mom and dad, the four kids, and granny.
Yeah.
But I remember mom talking about, you know, about giving us the stay away from the edge of the Grand Canyon speech, you know, that you fall in. And imagine what that would be like, us having to ride back to Illinois with a dead child in the car. I'm like, you know, I didn't say anything then because it just sounded terrible to think about, but... As an adult.
When you say riding back to
like they're going to
Illinois with a dead child in the car, you mean one that we found there? Or
no, like if you fell,
one
of us that fell into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking that if your kid falls in the Grand Canyon, you don't just take them home in your sedan, do you?
But is that what mom was suggesting?
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
Okay. Now, how are you going to feel if one of us has to sit with your dead brother between the two of you?
Yeah, or in the trunk, I guess.
Okay.
I'm assuming you'd be in the trunk.
Yeah, well, you know, she was doing that for effect.
Well, I know she was. But...
Yeah, I went out to visit with Mom and Dad the other day and walked into the kitchen. Mom's holding a can of Raid bug spray. And I said, what you doing there? I said, you know that that's not air freshener. She said, I know, it's bug spray. I said, well, what are you doing with that? She said, I'm making you guys sandwiches later.
I'm glad to see mom still got it.
Yeah, I gave
her... You know, I don't remember her being like that when she was younger.
I gave her a 10 on that one. Yeah, she didn't tell us then.
No.
Not in advance. We love our mother.
Now when you want to do a commercial this time?
Okay.
commercial time.
Today's episode is brought to you by New Tang. Remember Old Tang, the official powdered citrus drink from the astronauts who went to the moon? Mm-mm. Of course you don't. Who in their right mind takes powdered orange drinks? Well, forget about your grandpa's old powdered Tang. New Tang has replaced the lumpy powder with the gelatinous emulsification, just like the stuff your Vienna sausages are packed in. Except that this...
What?
This is kind of making me sick. I ate too much candy earlier. Except that this particular aspic is orange-flavored and dissolves perfectly in water. Simply plop a dollop of New Tang into a bottle of water, shake vigorously for 2 or 3 minutes. Do you know how much shaking that would actually be, 2 or 3 minutes?
That's a long
time. You'd sprain yourself.
Yeah, and enjoy a wonderful blast of citrus goodness. And don't have a bottle of water? That's okay. You can eat New Tang with a spoon. Just like the new astronauts will, once we sign a contract with NASA. So get yours today. New Tang, it's out of this world. So it's like goo.
Yeah.
Is it still orange-flavored?
Oh, yeah.
Orange-flavored goo.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it just mixes better. I mean, you know, powdered anything, when you try stirring it into a drink, it never really dissolves all the way.
Yeah.
So this is like a kind of an orange snot.
Yeah. Have you ever had Metamucil, where you try to dissolve that stuff in water and drink it?
Let's see. I'm still young. No, I have not had Metamucil.
Well, you are not young, so it's entirely possible that you could have had Metamucil.
Okay. Well, I don't know what it tastes like because I've never had it.
It's like...
I don't need it.
It's like straw in water. Terrible.
Just eat the tablet. You don't have to make a drink out of it.
There you go.
Well, I'm just... All
take it from a park ranger. This is a guy that walks around. Anything he needs, he can carry on him.
Do you think I have the ability to just mix drinks in the middle of the bush like
you're
that?
You're like an astronaut on Earth.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, it's like reverse.
That's right.
Yeah, kind of.
A terror.
Because out in the wild... Now, do you have... I remember this guy that we almost like an outdoors nut that lived by us. And
nut.
And he would go out and like
be an outdoors
hike
nut
for
to be a park
an whole
ranger.
Day. And he would, you know, like get water for his like canteen out of a stream and then drop in what he called a purification tablet.
Like yeah. An iodine tablet.
Iodine tablet.
Yeah.
Iodine. So you can put iodine in any crappy water and shake it up and you're good to go.
It. Iodine yeah, will take care of the bacteria, but it won't take care of the sediments.
You're not supposed to drink water out of a stream because it's full of bacteria.
Now, my grandmother said that you can drink from a spring water and you know that it's safe if it has the little sow bugs in it because they only thrive in clear pure water.
Granny Churchman said that.
Yeah.
That you look for water that's got a certain type of bug in it to
yep.
drink it.
Yeah.
Have you ever drank water out of a creek?
Of course I have. I get, you know, haven't you ever got right down on your hands and knees and put your face right in the water and drank it like that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We grew up right next to the Stag Brewery in Belleville, and they would dump all the excess malt and whatever else in the creek out back. And we would go down there and just slurp it right up.
Have you ever drank out of a creek?
And your parents are like, stop drinking out of that creek!
No, they said it was all right because there's beer in there, so therefore it's sterile.
Supposedly beer is safe to drink. I mean, it like kills
yeah.
germs.
Yeah.
You bet it does.
And brain
I'm the,
cells.
I'm the cleanest man alive.
That's right. I don't have a single germ in my blood.
Not many brain cells left either.
Smokey the Bear, whatever became of Smokey the Bear.
It's not Smokey the Bear. It's Smokey Bear.
It's Smokey. I guarantee his middle name's The.
I think that they went on like a major campaign a few years back to try and get people to stop saying Smokey the Bear. It's Smokey Bear.
Oh, where is he? And don't say they ate him because I know that's not true.
Oh, bear meat's a fine meat.
Do you know that Smokey the Bear was at the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. for a while? The real one?
The scorched cub they found. We had the comic book. Remember that? They had the Smokey Bear comic book?
Yeah.
And the story is that after a forest fire went through, the firefighters, or probably a park ranger.
That's right.
Found
my own
the scorched cub clinging to a tree. and they bandaged him
all of his feet, all of his
paws,
hands and feet.
All four paws were bandaged.
Bandaged, yeah.
And they took him around and took him to Washington, D.C. and became, this. And they put a little park ranger hat on him for a photo op, and that's what made that stick.
When you wear a park ranger hat, you feel like a ranger, don't you?
Absolutely.
You feel like a bear.
As soon as you put that hat on, your hands go right on your hips. You can't help it.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you have one of those straps that go down low around the back of your skull to hold your ranger hat on?
Absolutely.
What's the point of that?
Because in the wild.
Blow it off, man.
Because you can never be out of uniform.
But if the wind catches the front of your hat, it's going to blow it off anyway.
Well, there you have it. You put it under your chin when the wind's blowing that
direction.
It's an
adjustable strap.
An idiot.
There you go. How many times have you called me an idiot in these podcasts? Why do you do that?
I just like hear you go off like that. Like an idiot.
I don't call you an idiot.
Call me worse.
Oh, I think you're an
Now I do have to bleep.
Yeah, you do have to bleep.
This is a no cussing show, huh?
Yes, yeah. It is.
And I broke the rule tonight.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I got payoff and candy. Knows.
Is that what it is? If you cuss, you got to give us candy?
No, I'm just trying to get around it. You know, I was driving along the other day. I know there are different parts of the world that have different things.
All different
parts. It's not the candy that's making me think of this, but like, there's a part of central Illinois that grows 50% of all the pumpkins.
Cannabis.
In the country.
Yeah.
And there's a place down Collinsville. That grows 99% of all the horseradish in the world.
You better believe it.
Is grown in like one county.
For real. I don't believe that.
That's a
honest
fact.
Honest to God, I don't believe that.
You ever been to the horseradish festival?
No.
Look it up.
There's 1,000 different ways to eat horseradish. All terrible, but 1,000 different ways.
To clear your sinuses, though.
That's right.
And there's this area in Missouri that has more turf farms than any other part of the world. And it's because of the flatness of the river bottom combined with the makeup of the soil that they have these turf farms that they just grow sod. And then they have a machine that comes in and cuts it and rolls it up and loads it on a truck and you can roll out sod in your yard.
Well, do they... How do they replenish the sod? I mean, just...
sooner or later, you'd be, like, in a pit. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how much topsoil, though, are they scraping off? Aren't they just, like, cutting out the roots?
Just a minimal amount.
Yeah.
But they say that they work up the soil, and there's enough, organic material that goes back into it that there's not a significant...
It perpetuates itself?
Loss. Yeah.
Huh.
What kind of grass are they growing down there? Are there like different kinds of grasses, different kinds of sod?
Oh, yeah. And they grow it for different purposes. You know, some of it is for like industrial use, you know, like professional landscapers. Some of it is for like golf courses and special uses, you know, high traffic areas. So they have different kinds of grasses that grow different times, different parts of the country.
How'd you like to be a grass farmer?
Wife and I decided to have like our lawn resodded, right? And hire a company to resod the lawn. And you have special, whatever type of grass.
And it probably came from Missouri.
And it was supposed to be a really nice type of grass. And we go on a trip, right? And of course, you know, they don't show up for weeks and weeks when they're supposed to. And the minute we leave, that's when they show up to resod the lawn. So you come back to find that the lawn has been resodded. Except that it's been resodded with what can only be described as something from a weed farm. I mean, the cheapest, worst type of grass that could possibly ever be imagined is our lawn is completely resodded with the wrong type of grass.
Just you're pure dandelion. You're one of those guys, huh? Never happy with what you've got.
I was not happy, no. What I have to wonder is, first off, what sod farm grows this kind of stuff? Say, well, do you want real nice Kentucky bluegrass, or would you rather just have weeds? Because we can grow you out some weed sod, too.
Well, there's always got to be a budget option.
Well, Yeah, but I ponied up like an extra grand for really good sod.
Oh.
So I come back, you know, and the guy comes. I call him out.
They must
and
have identified you as a clod for sod.
Oh.
Yes, you know, the guy comes out. Oh, this isn't what you wanted, is it? No, it's not what I wanted. I mean, were you here? I mean, you're the guy I met with. Well, I took the contract, but I didn't actually come out and put sod down. We have men that do that.
We subcontract that out.
Yeah, that would be the workers that are going to be thrown out of the country here in about 2 weeks.
He thought you were a sod sap.
I guess.
Wellington, I had a question for you. Yes. Getting back to the national park.
Wait, I got to finish my sod story.
What a sod story it is.
I made them come back. They came out.
You made them.
Yes, I did. Well, I threw a fit. I threw a Brad fit.
Did you do the Jimmy Stewart speech?
I'm an attorney at law, and I'm duly licensed by the territory. Yeah, I do that about every week, don't I?
I'll see you
in jail for this.
There we go.
Jail. No, they came out, brought a pallet, pulled all that sod up, and stacked it neatly on a pallet, right?
To sell to
some other sap, obviously, and put on the really nice grass. It looks beautiful now. But
if you hadn't have been there to complain about it, they would have just said, well, there you go.
Good enough.
Pay up.
Let's see if we can pass this off on
Here's
this
your
guy.
Bill. This guy's from Illinois. He doesn't know no, grass.
He doesn't. Not like us in Missouri.
Grass hasn't hardly been legal. The
he knows about is corn and soybeans. He doesn't know anything about grass.
He might know a thing or two about horseradish.
Maybe horseradish. Yeah, I was thinking horseradish. All right, what were you about to ask, Alan, before
I was going to ask Wellington about the parks. And you know, every park has to have a balance. There has to be a balance to nature, right?
That's
Never
right.
so often things can get out of balance.
That's correct.
Like, say you get too many elk, or you got too many bears, or you got too many squirrels. Or how do you control these overpopulations of certain animals?
Well, you know, the elk now in Yellowstone, after they reintroduced the wolves, the elk now in Yellowstone are all hanging out around the visitor center because the wolves don't go down there. So now when you go to Yellowstone, you got to fight your way through packs and packs and packs of elk because they won't go anywhere else in the park because there's too many wolves.
So are elk a problem?
Elk are a huge problem at Yellowstone.
Wapati.
Well, they can get aggressive. They carry diseases. And also they need to be
disease? What kind of an elk disease?
You ever heard of elk pox?
Yeah. Of course. I thought you meant something really rare.
Go ahead.
People get home after a few months and start growing antlers. It's a real problem. Can't get on the bus no more.
Elk pox.
But you know, when they brought,
do eat them.
When they brought back the wolves, the elk stopped bugling so much. And also the elk stopped hanging out by the river in the open so much. And this caused trees to come back growing near the river, which shaded the river, which allowed fish to come back into the river, big fish to come back into the Yellowstone River there, which brought in the otters, which brought in the beavers. A whole ecosystem came back to
changed.
Life because they reintroduced the wolves, and they changed the behavior of all the prey species.
Let me tell you about reintroducing wolves. So they've got this island up in the upper peninsula of...
Should I edit this since you said it 2 weeks ago or not? But go ahead and tell your story again.
Okay.
I'm sure you don't repeat
right
yourself
time.
Because you're old.
We're out of time.
Joe Rogan says the same thing every day.
We're out of time. I just assume that people who listen to this podcast don't listen to more than one.
Okay, go ahead and tell the whole
okay,
story.
Okay, they
then.
Had this island up in Michigan to where they reintroduced wolves. And when they reintroduced them, they microchipped them so that they could track them on computers to see where they were at all the time. And visitors were in the park, too, and they were wondering how the wolves were interacting. You know, if people were scaring the wolves away. Yeah, and they wanted to make sure that there was a good balance and not to, you know, tamper with the wolf's, you know, routine. And what they found out was that as the people were walking on the trails through the park, the wolves were shadowing them just slightly off the trail, like they were
hunting them.
Hunting the people.
Like they were all Red Riding Hoods out there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which is super creepy.
Ranger, yeah. you had mentioned about people getting lost in the park, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you have, obviously, you have trails that snake their way all through all these
places. Oh, yeah.
Yellowstone. In Yellowstone, my kids, got my kids, they're little kids. Jackie, we had three kids.
You used to have five.
Yeah, well, there were three that day, and little one was sick, so I was carrying her on my shoulders a lot. We're in Yellowstone. We're hiking a long trail, and and it's supposed to be going back to where we started, like a loop trail. And we go around the curve of some mountain and look off, and way in the distance is the town we're headed to, and it's going the wrong way.
Uh-oh.
So obviously we've gotten off the correct trail, we're on the wrong trail. And the sun is starting to set. So I make the command decision to leave the trail because I can see the city way down the valley and hike down the side of the mountain with my children to get down to the city. And so we head down the trail after some marital discussion with the kids in tow, and I'm carrying the little one on my shoulders, and it's steep. But Suzanne, my wife, to this day is convinced that there was a wolf stalking us while we were doing that, that she thought there could hear something and was just certain that she had that certain feeling that we were being stalked by a wolf while we were going down this trail. And we're alive, so obviously everything worked out fine. The decision I made was the correct one, although it did turn out that that city we saw was the wrong city and that we walked out of the park into Montana into the wrong way. I mean, but we ended up eventually back where we started, and everybody was safe and fine, so there was no problem with leaving it. But the question is it possible we were being stalked by a wolf?
No, I don't think wolves were reintroduced at that time. It was probably just a lion.
I don't know if that's better, but no, there were wolves in the park already by that time.
Were there?
Yeah.
How frequently are visitors to national parks attacked by wild animals?
Very regularly.
Yeah, more than you'd think. And
because we're including bees and wasps and things, too. Those are wild animals.
You know, you go up into the northeastern, actually, they have moose in Grand Tetons, too, but also in Maine. They say moose are the most dangerous animals in the national parks.
That's right, because you can't reason with them.
Yeah. And they'll attack you. Like some people will go take pictures with there's an elk. Let's see how close I can get to it and take a picture. You do that to a moose, it'll charge you.
That's true. I seen it.
And it ain't pretty, is it?
You ever tackled a moose before?
You mean like an animal?
Yeah. Oh, it seems like every episode draws no,
like the drummer in your band.
Yeah, that's different.
Do you have a moose? Do you have a moose skull?
I do not have a moose skull.
Alan collects skulls.
How many? What's the coolest skull you got?
See.
Grandpa.
the most dangerous game.
It's the man that had the lopsided head. It's a really unique one. I don't know. I'm probably a grizzly bear.
You got a grizzly bear skull?
I do.
How'd you get that?
I can't tell you.
All right. I'd be the next skull in the collection.
You'd be the next lopsided skull.
Did you boil the meat off the skull yourself?
Do you have any friends or relatives that have told you that when I die, you can have my skull?
I have a guy that has pledged. He says he's putting it in his will.
That when he goes, send my skull to Alan Ringhouse.
That's correct.
To add to his collection.
He has said that.
Is that legal? Would a court let that happen, though?
Can you own a human skull?
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Hey, it's between me and him.
Colleges, hospitals, they all have them.
They all have them.
Yeah, I mean, it's legal,
though.
Yeah,
they're not just some guy, though.
Yeah, but Alan's not just some guy, either. He's licensed by the state.
You can get a permit to do just damn near anything.
If you can pony up the money, the state will permit it.
That's right.
And you can provide the fake documentation. Man, it's yours.
I'll just say, no, he never had a head.
There you go.
I don't recall him ever having a head.
If it's on my shelf, I'll just say, well, it's plastic.
Right.
And no, you can't handle it.
Oh, yeah, don't touch that.
Just put your hand in it and go, oh, no, he said it's totally fine.
It was, it's a 3D printed head.
You know, when they do, what is that Shakespeare play where he holds the head?
The Last Poor York?
The Last Poor York. That's Hamlet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Generally, theaters will have a real human skull when they do that.
Oh, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do.
Where do theaters get a real skull?
Same place you do.
Okay.
People leave it to the theater.
Dig them up illegally? I never, just, of course, that's.
Do you know they used to do that for anatomy classes?
Oh, yeah. For like colleges and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just got dig one black up. Market type thing?
Yeah. Where the professors would. Well, you'd have grad students do that kind of work.
I was going to say, you're not going to get some, you know, like, tenured professor out digging up a.
Well, not tenured.
Oh, well, okay. The new guy.
Dr. Ferguson, we need a skull. Guess what? You're the new guy. Go okay. get one.
I'm assuming that this last 5 minutes that we talked is all getting cut because we're 5 minutes over. Yeah. It was all inappropriate anyway.
Well, it's a holiday special show. Say?
It's New Year's show.
That's right.
There you go.
It's the New Year's episode. Well.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions there, Rick?
No.
Yeah,